All right, tonight we're going to be looking at Philippians 3:10. So would you like to turn to Philippians 3:10? If you've been watching what we've been doing on these Wednesday nights, Philippians 3:10 is where we've been going. Probably the greatest missionary that we've known, the missionary example, I'll say it that way, the missionary model and example is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, being the missionary that he was missionary to Gentile people. And he took the gospel everywhere. I don't know if he ever made it to Spain or he didn't, but I know that he was planning to be in every part of the Roman Empire. He planned to go everywhere with that gospel. Well, certainly if Paul is the model of being a missionary, it makes sense that we should have an understanding of what was on that man's heart all the time. What was he like? What was he doing? So what we're looking at tonight, we get an insight to it, Philippians 3:10, where he says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We have been looking at, in recent weeks here, we looked at the power of his resurrection. Last week, the fellowship of his sufferings. This week, we're looking at being conformed to his death. But I want to go over just a few things about Philippians 3:10. In the first part of the verse, it says, that I may know him. Now, Paul uses a word here that means to know someone experientially. It's to have an intimate knowledge of them. He's not just asking for information. He wants to have an intimate knowledge of him. And he notes two things here he wants to have this intimate knowledge of. He wants to have the intimate knowledge of Christ and of the power of his resurrection. So what I'd like to talk to you tonight is about knowing with the mind and knowing experientially. What's the difference in the two, and how do we get to know what they are? So if you just follow through on my notes with me here, and let's just talk about knowing. How many of you are learners? You count yourself to be a learner. You love learning. And it doesn't matter what, I'm looking at any particular subject, but if you get interested in the subject, you will learn about it. If it's fishing, you'll learn about fishing. If it's hunting, you'll learn about hunting. If it's going to be race cars, you'll learn about race cars. If it's going to be engines, you'll learn about engines. If it's going to be what, but you're determined to learn. Learning is a gift from God. And it's one, unfortunately, that doesn't always get used. There are a number of people who are not learners. I appreciate so much the people who, when they do come home in the evening, they want something to do. They want to learn something. They're not content just to watch a TV show. They want to learn something. Some will learn by books. Some will learn through magazine articles, or some will learn from things off the internet. As you well know, there's a lot of ways to learn. But there are only a few ways to get to know somebody. And Paul is saying, I want to know Christ. I want to be intimate with Christ, okay? So let's talk about knowing with the mind and knowing experientially. Number one, the mind is a rich gift and tool from God. You ever thought about what a wonderful thing that mind is that you have? The other day, and here I'm going to speak about the brain, but I'm thinking about brain and mind and how much they work together. The brain seems to be the body, what the mind is to the soul. And the other day, I was thinking about, once I got to, Ruby, I don't know, she gave me this BPPB one day. I guess that's what it was. I hugged Ruby one day, and I must have leaned in against her ear there, and the same BPPB that she has, I got. So it makes us both have vertigo. How are you doing with yours? Does yours bother you from time to time?
I'm pretty good now.
Praise the Lord. Because that is the most unstable feeling you can possibly have. And I thought the other day, I started off up the stairs. How many times have I walked the stairs in my home? Let's say we've lived there 20-something years now. How many times have I walked the stairs in my home? As I started up the stair, I noticed this foot stop and catch and think, whoa, I almost missed a step. And it made me think, what a wonder it is that the mind remembers. I could be blindfolded and walk up those stairs. How is it the mind remembers how high to raise a foot? How much pressure to put on it? The perspective of where you're at in the wall. You know, we got walls that go up the thing here. What keeps you from just wandering over the side and drifting up the steps? What a wonderful thing it is to have a mind. that remembers all that stuff and keeps it going in one path so that you don't have to really think your way through that all every day. The mind is a beautiful gift. And learning is a wonderful tool in that. That mind helps us to take in information, and with that information, hopefully make some decisions. Hopefully the right decisions. But that depends on the right information, doesn't it? I got to have right information in, then I've got to have a process of developing that information so I can make a decision on it. Well, instruction from a qualified teacher is a good way to learn. A good teacher is a fascinating thing to have, is it not? How many had somebody in high school or college or maybe grade school that was just a good teacher? How many had somebody like that? What was characteristic of a good teacher? What did he do? What made him good? Excited about learning and excited about you learning. Yeah, that was a good one. All right. What else was it?
They'd check on you.
Yeah, they were not just content. They wanted to make sure you were doing it. They checked on you. All right. What else? So they had a method of asking you a question to get feedback from you. All right. What else makes a good teacher? A teacher that you really appreciated. Something about that teacher.
Taking time with you.
Yeah. I know Char and I was a philosophy major, and Char was majoring in PE, physical education. And I know both of us went to an English 10 or a biology 104 class. And there we had this fascinating, oddly enough, her name was White. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Those white folk are just everywhere, aren't they? But her name was White, and she was, what?
Shorter than that.
She had such a bounce in her step, just as white-haired as can be. And I don't know, she must have been 110 at that time. I'm not really sure. She'd been there a long, long time, I'll just say it that way. She had such a bounce in her step, and she just went every place, and she was just most excited about everything. Just everything is wonderful, and everything is good. Oh, we just got to study hard, and we just got to learn hard. She's the hardest teacher we ever had. She graded, I mean, she said, if the word is not spelled right, it's not the right word. It's therefore the wrong answer. And I mean, she marked that wrong. It wasn't a point off because you misspelled it. No, wrong word. Wow, she was fascinating, but she loved learning. And she would go over, and you've got this little lab tray there, and you got a frog. And you're going to dissect the frog. And you get that frog laid up, and you got this pinned here, and you got this pinned here. How many frogs do you suppose she had seen in 130 years she'd been teaching? 2? 10? 15? 1.5 million? I don't know how many she'd seen, but we'd have it all pinned over there, and she'd come over and say, "How are you doing? How are you doing? Oh, look at that." And we're looking and going, "What? What is she saying?" And we point, "Is that the liver? Oh, you white. That's the liver. Oh, there's the liver. Yes. Yes, you're so white." And oh, she would just get excited about it, and she wanted you to learn. And you can learn a lot from a good teacher like that, can't you? But if all she had was lecture, it wouldn't have made as much sense to us. You know what I'm saying? But she didn't. She had biology lab. And she wanted us to know. She could give us all the information about that frog, but she wanted us to know in the lab everything she just told us. That's something that makes a good teacher. Without that lab, we wouldn't have learned as much because we didn't have a reference point to look at. What you see on a page and what you can look at with your hands and touch, that's a little bit different. All right. Providing the teacher's using truth. Well, I'll let you look at the 4 points there. I've got books, CDs, and videos are wonderful ways of learning. By reading books, we enter the thoughts of those who have gone before us, and we can gain insights into what they had learned and how they developed that thought. I really enjoy reading books. Does that make me a nerd? Yes, I am a nerd, and I don't have any problem with that. I am a nerd, and I like being nerdy. I like reading books because I like interacting with the ideas of an author. Can you imagine this? I can talk with somebody, a one-way conversation, who was thinking something in 1600. I can read a book of somebody who was writing in 200 BC. Think of the number of authors who wrote the Old Testament books when they were writing them. We're looking at 2400 BC. And you're reading the information about that. You're interacting with the thoughts of somebody that many years ago. Okay, it is a little problem because it is more like a monologue than a dialogue. You don't get a chance to ask the teacher. The advantage of having a teacher you can ask is that you can ask. And you get a conversation back. And if that teacher's a good teacher, they want to have a conversation with you. If they're a mentor or a disciple maker, you can learn even more from it because they're interested in you experiencing the truth, not just hearing the truth. So books and CDs are a good way. Reading a book there. I'm going to go to page 2 there if you'd like to just go there with me. In a matter of fiction, when it's fiction you're writing, we get the opportunity to interact with the characters the writer develops for us. The creativity within us that comes from being in the image of God allows us to personify the characters being developed before us. I remember when I was reading Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, I think, is the first one I read. And when I read that one, and I remember them talking about this character, Bilbo Baggins had gone into a cave, actually fallen into a cave there, and he fallen down, and he could hear this creature.
Where's my precious? Where's my precious? Oh, we'll eat the fishes here. We'll eat us a fishies or two. Yeah, and the orcs and the goblins and that.
And, oh, man, I remember just reading that and thinking, ooh, what a creepy creature this is. And thinking all my way through it, you know. And I'd read it to kids, and I'd use all those same voices and stuff, and the kids would just sit there going, he's creepy, he's creepy. Don't read us anymore about that. But how much can you interact with the characters? Man, reading Moby Dick, how much can you interact with the character that's going on there, the rich development that goes on with the thoughts of that guy, okay? With that book, then, I put down here, reading can be a challenge as well. And I put reading the instructions of any item in whose packing says some assembly required. If you've ever read the instructions that have been written by an English-speaking Chinese person who doesn't really understand verbs and nouns and their relationship with each other, and you're looking at this saying, what did that mean exactly? And you're trying to put together what you think that Chinese English speaking person just wrote for you there. You know that can be difficult. If you've ever attempted to read any Puritan authors, anybody ever tried to read Puritan authors or even the Founding Fathers or the Federalist Papers or something like that, where the average sentence seems to be about 36 words. And then there's a semicolon, and we start with another 36 words. So by the time they finally finish the thought that they actually were saying, it's a paragraph long. But,
And he spoke like he was from Hong Kong, and his tests were written like he spoke. So I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. With CDs, we are getting the benefit of instruction from a different learning gate than the book alone affords. We're using a ear now. Just reading a book doesn't give me near what the CD gives me. So we have teachers, we have books, we have CDs. The CD, the advantage you have with a CD is that you can stop it and rewind it. And if you need to listen to it multiple times, then you can if you're trying to figure out what the guy had to say, what he was really wanting. And I appreciate that about getting to listen to CDs. I listen to a number of CDs all the time. I bet 3 to 7 CDs a day. That I'm as I'm any place I'm traveling, if any place I'm fixing breakfast or shaving or anything like that, I'll have something going because I like to continue that. However, listening to a lecture on how to have a better life and having to rewind to understand what the teacher meant by a certain thought he was conveying. So we see that a lot. Number 3, with videos. We get the advantage of the eye gate and the ear gate through which the information can pass.